Our son Peter asked an interesting question. How do you know if God is with you if you cannot see God? Pretty heavy for a four-year-old. How do you know if God's with you if you cannot see God? Kids say the darndest things. Often they ask the questions that we've been holding or are a little bit afraid to ask. Now, lest you think that my life is so very different than yours, we're just driving away on our way to Target trying to get some school supplies when Peter asks this question. How do you know that God is with you when you can't see God with your eyes? Now, it was followed with, maybe God has multiple heads, but we won't go there quite so quickly. Peter can see his trucks and his dinosaurs. He can see his hot dogs and his books. But how do you see God? He wanted some assurance that he could hang on to in the same way that we can fix the wheels that come off the trucks. They come off an awful lot. That he could know that God is with him. In fact, this is the question of theological significance in blessed assurance, right? The assurance that God is with us, even when we're wondering, even when we're curious, just like the rest of us. CCLI, Christian Copyright Licensing International, the organization that each Sunday we purchase the right to sing all of these hymns and songs, tracks music in churches, faith organizations all over the world, and they recently released the top 25 hymns sung in churches. Blessed Assurance is in the top three, always, in the top three hymns sung in churches. It's no surprise to anyone. Since it was written in 1873, it's captured both the melodic, you can kind of sing along, and also the theological imagination of people everywhere. We want that moment of knowing, just like Peter does, that God is with us, even when we can't see him, God. We are looking for that reassurance that we too are filled with God's goodness and lost in God's love. Fanny Crosby, that hymn writer of the 19th century, is the one who gives us some of that language to put around that feeling. Fanny Crosby lost her eyesight from an eye infection at the tender age of 6 weeks old. She later reflected this. It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I'd be blind all my life, and I thanked God because if I had eyesight, I might not have sung praises to God because I'd be distracted by the beautiful and interesting things around me. Incredible words from Fanny Crosby. She lived her life proclaiming the wondrous God she knew. She attended the New York Institute for the Blind, where she met her husband, Alexander, called Van, who was an organist. Together, did they make much of the music that you and I know? She actually spoke before the U.S. Congress multiple times, including in 1843, where she was a lobbyist for education for the blind. Imagine a 23-year-old standing up and reading poetry before Congress to encourage education for the blind. She wasn't shy to use her voice in proclamation or exclamation. In fact, she wrote over 8,000 hymns and songs, including patriotic songs during the Civil War. She was president friends, including Grover Cleveland. She wrote a poem for the dedication of his birthplace, Caldwell, New Jersey. But it was her faith that was this driving force. Methodist by background, who knew? And she spoke of the grace in her life and urged all of us to find peace. I think that's what we resonate with in Blessed Assurance. It was after her only child, Francis, died from SIDS that she threw herself most strongly into songwriting. So Aunt Fanny, as she was called, became a fixture at rescue missions. She'd go out to the rescue missions and then come back and write these hymns that we have come to love. For anyone who needed encouragement, she would go out and spend time serving. And then out of those experiences, write these prolific hymns. From abolition to poverty, from temperance to encouragement, she would compose the lines and then seek out musicians to put music behind those words. There were other times, though, when the musicians would seek her out. This is what happened with Blessed Assurance. It was a musician friend by the name of Phoebe Knapp who came to her with a melody and said, "What does this melody say to you?" So the melody played first. And she said, "It says, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine." And the tune was written instantaneously. The hymn was such a success that she became under contract to write, I can't imagine this, 3 hymns a week. For those of you who've written, 3 hymns a week sounds to me absolutely incredible. In fact, so many hymns that those she was under contract with encouraged her to use pen names because people wouldn't believe that she was the author of all of these. She had 200 different pen names. Historians are still uncovering all the hymns attributed to her. It's still clear that she wrote out of confidence in her faith. She could hear the notes that Phoebe played on that date and be convinced that Blessed Assurance and Jesus is mine in the midst of her own challenges, in the midst of her own faith struggles. She knew a life that she could first depend on God. You see, reassurance is a reminder of that we already know. We need reassurance when we've made a wrong turn, or when we think we know the correct turn, when we're driving somewhere in the dark, when we've only been there once or twice, we need reassurance of what the correct turn is. We need reassurance when we think that we've made the correct decision to hold a boundary to respect ourselves instead of enabling someone else's bad habits. We need reassurance when we've taken a step of faith that God is indeed with us and is going to be with us in that large step of faith that we take. The book of Hebrews was written for those who needed that kind of reassurance. The writer of Hebrews wrote to the inner circle at Rome and was reminding and reassuring the faithful, the devoted, of those things they already knew. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. While this letter is written in the style of Paul, many contemporary scholars believe it was a disciple of Paul who wrote the letter, possibly Priscilla, to encourage and assure other apostles in their faith. The stories of faith are recounted for just that purpose. Noah and Abraham, Moses and others. Listen to the stories of faith. You too can be one of the stories of faithfulness. Blessed assurance, that's what Abraham knew. Because he had it, the rest of us too can have it. He had it when God told him to leave everything he knew, and he didn't know where he was going. He had it when God told him Sarah was going to have children, even though they didn't have any reason to believe that could possibly happen. Abraham had it. The faith to step out beyond what he imagined to be possible. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This is not to say people of faith are perfect by any means. This is not to say people of faith are in control or always have the answers, and certainly not to say people of faith are better than others. Not to say they always have the perfect theological answer to every question, but rather to say there are those who have learned, like Abraham, that God can be trusted to bring assurance when life is at its rockiest. And God can be trusted to take all that is difficult and transform it into something good. God can be trusted to empower you in the midst of your trouble and to receive you onto eternal life. God can be trusted. It was Henry Nouwen, the great spiritual writer, who received revelation in one of the most unusual places of all, at the circus. He went to a trapeze group. It was called the Flying Rondelles, and he was mesmerized by their performance. He went to speak to the leader of the group, and he asked the leader of the trapeze group, "How is it that you're able to perform these high-flying feats?" The leader of the group responded in this way: "The public might think that I am the great star of the trapeze, but the real star of the group is Joe, my catcher. The secret is the flyer does nothing, and the catcher does absolutely everything. When I fly to Joe, I just stretch out my hands and arms, and I wait for him to catch me. The worst thing the flyer can do is try and catch the catcher. I'm not supposed to catch him. It's his job to catch me." Our blessed assurance comes from knowing that God has caught us and will catch us. When trouble comes, when we fumble and try to grab and catch for God, when we think if we do enough mental gymnastics, we can do the work for God, we somehow try to catch God. Friends, it's not our job to do the job of the catcher. It's God who catches us. Peter, how do you know that God is with you even when you can't see God? You feel that God catches and leads you. The presence of the Holy Spirit is always with you. You believe in the sun when it's not shining. Music is one of the ways that we know God's assurance and presence with us always. But in this song, Fanny Crosby gave us some language to be reminded what we already knew about God. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with God's goodness, lost in God's love. May you too know blessed assurance as your story and your song, and reflect back the praises of God as your Savior. This, my friends, is the good news, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.